Good morning. How are you doing? Good, good. It's a beautiful day, huh? It's beautiful. I'm glad to be back home. Matter of fact, I thought I was stuck up in the snow. Because, you know, on Thursday night, there's really big storm coming in. And I said, it's going to have a hard time to reach down the hill, but it's really good. God bless us to be back home safely. Well, I want to continue on the same spirit of revival that we need in the beginning of the year. And today's message I want to share with you, the Holy Spirit and revival. You know, we cannot talk about revival in the absence of Holy Spirit. You want to be revival without the Holy Spirit is meaningless. You can pray all you want to, and you gung-ho about going to do evangelism. It's going to die out. But true revival, you need the unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, when talking about revival, do not limit to ourselves that revival within our church boundary alone. It doesn't mean revival doesn't mean just our church. We're ready to do something great for the Lord. Go out and share the message, and we are united. That's only limit to understanding of revival. Revival is a heart, in your heart. Are you changed? Are you changed toward God's own heart? Now, let me read the text right here, the message from Ellen G. White, Gospel Worker, page 370. A revival of true godliness among us is a greater and most urgent of all our need. Ellen G. White said, the revival of true godliness is inside. We need to be changed like God. Okay, we must have the holy unction from God, the baptism of the Spirit. You see, in order to have revival, true revival, you need to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the Spirit has to come. For this is the only efficient agent in the promulgation of the sacred truth. Only the Spirit will help you to spread the truth, understand the truth. It is the Spirit of God that quickens the lifeless faculties of the soul to appreciate the heavenly things and attracts the affection toward God and the truth. You see, if the Holy Spirit not in us, if the Holy Spirit not revive us, then we look at the Bible, we found out just a novel. There's no exciting into this, right? When we talk about the heavenly things, you say, really, heavenly? It's so far. What are you talking about? You see, because when we don't have the Spirit of God, it's not revive us, we don't understand. See, the spiritual things can be understood in the realm of the spiritual thought. You got to have the Spirit of God in order to understand the spiritual thing. And so God said, we need the Holy Spirit. Now, we hear much about the Holy Spirit, but I'm afraid that a lot of time people not focus what the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now we heard about when we baptize in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, right? We heard about the Trinity in the Bible so many times, but how many times are you thinking about the Holy Spirit? We think about God, Jehovah, we think the Father, we pray about the Father, the Son, the Jesus Christ, but rarely we mention the name Holy Spirit. Now, maybe we can look at the Bible. The Old Testament is talking about the Father more, talking about the God, Jehovah. Maybe the four book of the Bible, the Gospel, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking about Jesus Christ. But you know, the rest of the Bible in the New Testament is a power of the Holy Spirit, right? Everything's run by the Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ already left. Yes, he said we'd be with us and everywhere, but that's a power of the Holy Spirit coming to being. We will see that in a little bit here. Now, before we get into that, a lot of people have misconception about the Holy Spirit. Now, God also asks us to test the Spirit. When God asks us to test the Spirit, what does that mean? There's a true Spirit and a false Spirit, right? So we need to look into how do you know this is true Spirit or is a false Spirit? Okay, that's the idea. I'm going to look into that as I share with you. Now, to make it understand in our realm here, we need the Spirit. We live in a life that a lot of time we don't understand and we don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And for those people, they feel so lonely. They feel like this world that I have to do everything on our own. Every decision that I make, I have to do on my own. Either go to school or choose a degree or find a spouse or find a home or live a life or choose religion. Everything, we think that everything is on our own. Now, when you say that, that means you ignored the Holy Spirit. Now, that sounds pretty vague to you. Everything we do on our own. But you know what? Everything we do, the Holy Spirit is working. Now, when I was young, in college, and in the evening, you know, after you have a long day of school and study and hard work, what do? Okay, that's a good idea. But other thing besides they do is party. Okay, I hate to say this, but college time is a party time, and when you're in a party, you have to have alcohol, and so you know, I never tasted alcohol before, and they say, you know, hold this can of beer, and so he said, you know, taste it, it's good. Everyone drink it, and you know, I'm reluctant. Should I or should not? Because I grow up, my parents said you shouldn't touch that, and so I kind of put it at my lips, and I did taste it. And it didn't taste good at all. And I struggled with that thought. You know? Should I or shouldn't I? Now I'm studying the Bible. I find out that's the Holy Spirit telling me here. Do not touch it. But you know there's an invisible man out there. And so touch it. Drink it. Right? There's a battle is going on. Now, I'm glad that I went straight to the restroom and poured all down the drain. You know, and I walk out and they give you another can, you know. Oh, you finished so quick. Why didn't you get another one? Anyway, and so I find out the Lord, I listened to the Holy Spirit somehow. I don't know how, but I listened to the Spirit somewhere and I did not do it. I did not drink it. Now, I look back that some of my friends are now alcoholic. Just one drink, become alcoholic. Because it drag on and on. It's okay. No, one isn't enough. Two, three. So it's happening day in and day out that every one of us we're facing. Just have a little bit. Just try a little bit of cigarette. Just doing this. Just a little party. It won't hurt. I'm telling you, my friend, that's what we have a battle going on. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore it. Don't think it's not exist. I'm telling you, it exists, and God giving that Holy Spirit in the benefit for you. Now, some of you might not understand that you don't have a benefit. Look with me in the book of John chapter 14, verse 18. And this speak directly for those who feel very lonely and say, you know, that life is not worth living and all that, but I'm giving you hope right here. John chapter 14, verse 18. When Jesus, before he left this earth, now, understand the story right here. Jesus calling the disciple. And so if you want to go with me, you have to leave everything. What does that mean? Leaving your house, your job, sell everything, give to the poor, and follow me. Now, you follow Jesus, and he didn't show you a big mansion that he's going to take you in. He didn't show you that you have enough food for the rest of your life. No, they recognize if you follow Jesus, you can be poor, but you will find happiness. And so these 12 disciples follow Jesus. Now they follow how long? 3.5 years. And that's quite a long time. If you think about it, if you're homeless for 3.5 years, count it for a long time. And here suddenly Jesus say, I will go, and you cannot come with me. What? I mean, you ask for sake everything, sell my house, leave my job, leave my family, and follow you. And now you say, don't go with you anymore? Now, some of you say, well, no, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Jesus say, where I go, I don't think you want to go. Yeah, Jesus, I mean, the disciple didn't understand that. I mean, Jesus dragged a guy on the cross. And if he say, I'm going to go to die, I'm sure the 12 disciples are going to run off. You see right there, Jesus said, you will be an orphan. No one will take care of you. You have nowhere to turn. But he says something here. Verse 18 of chapter 14 of John here. I will leave you. No. I will not leave you orphan. I will come to you. You see, so many people feel like, hey, I'm an orphan. I have no one care for me. You know what an orphan is? Now, I was in the orphan once before I come to the United States here. No one really cared for you. I mean, you don't have your parent who took care of you. When you cried out, they tell you, shut up. They force you to eat. They force you to clean things. I mean, when I was a little kid, 12 years old, you clean the bathroom, you do all that. As an orphan, no one cared for you. Sometimes you just want to hate it. You want to end your life. You want to run off. That's what an orphan is all about. Jesus Christ said to you and to me today, every one of us is an orphan, but he said, I will not leave you. I will never leave you. Today, if you feel like no one loves you, no one cares for you, or you've even been rejected by your family or your friend, or break up with someone, God say, I will never leave you. My friends, so many people today do not believe this text. So many people believe today do not reject this text. So that's why so many people end their life. I wish they could read this text before they make that decision. Maybe that's why God telling us go out and preach the gospel. So many people will find Jesus Christ. But God tells us he gives the Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? I want to share with you three things at least that Holy Spirit did for us. Go with me, John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever. For how long? Forever. That means you need a helper. As here you go. You come to this world so lonely. You need help. You need a mate. You need a spouse. You need someone to love. He said, I will send you a helper. Someone is better than what you're looking for. I will send you that helper. Remember, this very text, this very chapter, they already feel lonely when Jesus said that I will leave you. But God said, I will send you a helper that will comfort you, have compassion on you, and abide with you forever. And chapter 14, 16, now we go to 16, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He tells you the truth. It is to be your advantage that I would go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And see, now the disciples feel, wow, I feel comfort now. And who is that helper? Well, they don't know yet. And later they know, remember the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. They say, you stay in Jerusalem, you pray until the Holy Spirit come. Then you go out. That's what it is. You will stay and the helper will come. See, he already promised that, let me go. I must go. Then the Holy Spirit will come. You know, I can see the disciple hold on to Jesus' feet and say, don't go. But I must go. And you will see the Holy Spirit will come to help you. And so the point number one, the purpose of Holy Spirit that God is giving us, that he will help us, he will comfort us. When we feel lonely, when we feel so hard, life is so hard. I mean, today we live in the financial problem, it's so hard. It's tough to pay your bill. It's tough to go to school. It's tough after you go to school and you have bills and now you couldn't find a job. I mean, it's tough. But God said, I will send you a helper. I will help you. God's ready there before you even open your mouth to pray. He wants to help you. And so he comforts you. Either you have a death in the family or you're sick. He said, come to him. He comforts us. You know, we are so lucky that we have the Holy Spirit, if we call upon him. I see people when they lost a loved one, they keep crying months and years, and they couldn't get over it. They couldn't get over it. Sometimes even feel guilt that they have not done enough, right? But when we have the Spirit, we feel comfort. Remember Paul said to 1 Thessalonians, say, I comfort you. Do not cry like those who don't have the faith. Okay? Because our loved one will sleep and cries until Jesus Christ again. That's a comfort thing. And so that's the Holy Spirit purpose to come to comfort us. Point number two, as He would be our teacher. Now, how many people want to have a teacher? And I know you in school, maybe you don't have much good experience with some teacher. Is that right? No. You know, some teachers really drive you nuts, right? Give you too much homework. But you know what I'm talking about? A teacher is to guide you. To guide you. Look into John chapter 16, verse 13. 16, verse 13, say this. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, the disciple right now, they don't know the whole truth. Am I right? Yes or no? No. But the Holy Spirit will come to guide you into the whole truth. Now, sometimes, you know, I might preach all my heart out, and some of you maybe not understand. But when you go home, you read about it, the Holy Spirit will teach you more about it, and you understand the truth. He's the Holy Spirit teaches the truth. Guess what? When you open the Bible, you crack your Bible and start reading, do you pray for the Holy Spirit leading you? You must do. If you don't want, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, to explain for you, you will never understand. No way. We are carnal mind. We never can understand the spiritual thing. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you. See, the same Spirit taught the author of the Bible, right? The disciple, whoever is right down, that same Spirit will interpret for you. Don't go around firstly, go to the Bible commentary. Ask the Holy Spirit first to teach you. For those who want to prepare a sermon, the best thing is read the text at least 10 times. Kneel down and pray your heart out to cry out, God, help me to understand before you even run to the Bible commentary. Because I'd rather have the Holy Spirit to teach me than someone else teach me, right? That's what we need. They say, when you come to the Holy Spirit, will teach you the all truth. He will guide you to the all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit will come to teach you what Jesus already taught the disciple. You understand? Now, that's how you test false spirit. Now, if you hear someone teaching or the Spirit telling you, do this and do that, guess what you should do? Turn to the Bible. Well, if the Spirit teaching opposite what the Bible teach, guess what? That's false spirit. Now, the ends of day, the letter of day, and the end time, Satan will pour out his spirit, right? And that's why we need to understand the Holy Spirit. That's why do not even start turning the Bible unless you pray for the Holy Spirit help you to understand. So many people today just go into church, just listen to sermon without open the Bible and read for yourself. Well, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he preached to Berean church. Right? He preached the Bible, and the people opened the Bible to see Paul teaching according to the Word of God. Here's the apostle. He said, go test it. Now, if I'm preaching, I have nothing compared to Paul. You should test me if I'm preaching according to the Word of God. So many people listen to radio program and TV program and too busy and don't have time to open the Bible and soak everything you hear. That's dangerous, my friend. You got to open the Bible and read for yourself. That's how you test. So the Holy Spirit will guide you to the truth. Guide you what you should understand about the Word of God. Now again, also guide you. What degree should you go? What major should you take? What spouse should you take? My friend, if I didn't ask for the Holy Spirit to marry to the right word person, man, if you write a right person, you live like in heaven. But you write to a wrong person, guess what? It's terrible. You don't want to live. That's why you ask the Holy Spirit. Don't run after for your own. And try. Don't try to say, yeah, this is the right person for me. This is the right degree for me. You know, that's our own understanding. I'd rather have someone know the future to direct me. Because God knows who is the right one for me. God knows what direction for me, right? Because some of us, we take our own. And sometimes we come back and say, no, this is the wrong direction. You're wasting half of your life already. My friend, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And with young people today, I'm telling you, if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, you'll be miserable. You're miserable. I can tell you that. I feel so even very sad even now that I give some, I mean, I conduct so many weddings, and some of them still marry, and others, they broke up. And I asked them, why? Why? Is that person meant for me? You see, when God created Adam, He only created one Eve. And that's perfect match. Now, if God already created you, He already created a helpmate for you already. The thing is, you need to ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you to that person. Now, the thing is, we're too busy to ask. We decided to find our own. And that's where the problem. Now, how do you know? How do you know if I listen to the Spirit to tell this one is right or wrong? The Word of God. Is he a believer? Is he who lived by the Word of God? If she followed the Word of God? That's how it is. It's so simple. I said, when I pray, and I'm not afraid. Like, remember the story of Gideon? Gideon asked, you know, Lord, is this direction or not? If I leave the fleet out there, is it going to be the moisture? It can be dry or not? All that. You remember the story? Well, I asked God the same thing. Lord, I give you the requirement here. God said, test you. You know, God said, test me. Well, Lord, I want someone vegetarian. Can you find someone vegetarian? Oh, all the vegetarians love to eat meat. Okay, find vegetarian. And so I got, it's almost impossible. So it's very hard. Find someone who loved to marry to a pastor. Well, that's even tough, right? Or someone who want to go back to Vietnam to do a mission work. Man, when you flee from Vietnam, yes, you don't want to go back to Vietnam. And say, when I give those three requirements, say, God, it's going to be hard, but you find someone because you already wrote into my heart, that's what I want. You see, you got to test God. God wants to come to me. Come to me. That we work together to find the right one. My friend, we got to do that. Some don't underestimate the Holy Spirit. He can instruct you and lead you. Point number three, this part of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me in the book of Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8, write this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. The Holy Spirit will instruct you, will guide you. Okay? And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. And I will guide you with my eyes. I mean, this is a beautiful promise. I mean, it's amazing. God sent your Holy Spirit to guide you every step of the way. Just like I'm blind. You know, I'm walking. And he knows there's a hole right there. And he says, step over and walk. That's what he did. You are lost in this world. You don't know where you're going. You know, so many of us, we step in the minefield. You know, we don't know. We don't know. And the Bible even says that. Isaiah chapter 53 says, everyone's lost. No one have a shepherd. Everyone's lost. And so he said, I will instruct you. Just close your eyes and have faith in me. I will instruct you the way you go. And my eyes look on you day and night to lead you. My friend, that's a wonderful promise. And you got to believe that. You know, when I say believe, I mean really believe. Because when you're blind, you got to believe someone who's leading you. And you just have to believe. And you just follow. I remember one time we took a group of young people going camping. And some of you probably quite small. That's years ago. And Bao was camping. Sorry, Bao was not here today. But Bao was going camping. And maybe, I don't know, some of you may know. And we took a blind young man with us to go camping. Matter of fact, hiking. And there's a lot of stream and river. And we go hiking with a blind young man. And he said, I want to go. I said, are you sure? It's going to be tough. He said, yes. So he started trusting me. So you take a step right here. And I kind of carry him, I mean, on the stream with rock. I say, move your step here. Step on this rock. Are you ready? Move to the next one. And he have to trust you. He have to trust. One time he believed in himself. And he said, you know, I can do it. I can feel it. And I can step in it. And guess what? He slipped and he fell. And Bao run over, carried him on his back. and take him to a safe place. You see, when you start trusting in yourself, you're going to fall. You might not only get wet, but you might have scars for the rest of your life. You have to trust someone who's leading you. And so the Holy Spirit's job is guiding you, focusing you, and leading you. I mean, I'm thinking about the text, and it's coming to me. It's so many beautiful stories. I remember I worked on the aircraft. I was a computer engineer. And I worked for Honeywell, which is making a cockpit. You know, a cockpit in the airplane. And I work on the engine right there. And I find out there's a radar that you're working on. It's called, this machine is helping call auto landing. That's why you see a lot of pilots, when they land, they don't have to do anything. They're sitting there. Why don't you land? You won't even put your hand on the wheel. He said, no. Autopilot, take care of it. See, this machine has captured the radar, right? And it's just leading you down to the pathway and safely. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Sometimes we want to take handle over the handle of the handle of your life, handle of everything. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work, my friend. You will find safe place, and you'll be happy when you have the Holy Spirit. When we have the Spirit, our life will be changed. Our church will be changed. That's why we need to cry out for the Holy Spirit to give us revival. This story that Elder Mark Finley shared, and there's a man, and people call him a dove man because everywhere he go, he carry a dove with him. Well, why they call a dove man? Well, in the desert, Arabia, you know, desert is really hard to find direction. You know, you have no trees, no nothing that could to help you find direction to get home, right? And sometimes you have a desert storm that just bury your footstep. You don't know how to get home. When this man is called dove man, everywhere he go, he have a string or rope and a dove. And so when he go home, he lost his way, and so he tied the string toward the feet of the dove, and he threw the dove up, and the dove head toward home, and he see that is direction. He pulled the dove back, and he carried him, and said, that direction I'm going. And now what? Where? So he do the same thing. He tied that rope at the feet of the dove, and he throw it up, and the dove fly toward that direction, and he pulled the dove back, and he start walking that direction. He never get lost. People get lost in the desert. People will get lost in this world. But if you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will lead you home. Heavenly home, my friend. You can get lost in this world. So many people get lost in this world. They don't know where the heavenly home. They don't know where. But you and I, if we have the Holy Spirit, we not only go in heavenly home, but we take others with us. My friend, that's why we need the Holy Spirit today. You cry now, and God will give us. He said, I will be with you forever. It's the only place that you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's the only time you don't have the Holy Spirit is when you reject the voice of Holy Spirit. It's the only time. Only time. So my friend, do not reject. Do not reject. Rejection is hurting you. Now the word rejection, it just come to my thought. I have to share with you because we are living an age that casino everywhere. Now, you don't have to go to Las Vegas. It's right downtown here. Everywhere. Now, one time, my uncle went to a casino. And he played, you know, I use $25 to see that. I put $25. If I lose a $25, I'm going to walk out. Well, he lost his $25. I have another $25 in my pocket. Let's use it. He said, no, use it. He used all the money in his pocket. Next thing, he used his credit card. Next time, he used his car. You know, registration card. Here, take my card. He lose everything. You see, why he losing? A friend say, that's enough. Go. He say, okay. Just one more. One more. And so I lost again. One more. You see, his friend, it's like a Holy Spirit telling him, enough, let's go. But keep rejecting that voice. And to his friend, walk away. I'm not going to tell you anymore. That's it. I told you 100 times. You pushed me away. You kicked me away. That's it. I'm not going to tell you anymore. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what rejection is all about. My friend, so many times the Holy Spirit telling us, we reject. because we want to go our own way. Let's not doing that. Let's start this year. Let's start your life around. If you have not done so, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And I believe if you ask, you shall what? Receive. God has promised. May the Holy Spirit will come to your life today. May you continue listen for that small, sweet voice of the Holy Spirit leading you. And you will find it so sweet. And you find your heavenly kingdom. And you have a perfect peace, perfect family, a wonderful life. And that's what God wants you to be. May God bless each one of you.